Psalm 47. And we will finish out this meeting with this particular psalm. It is quite interesting. I've entitled it simply, Clap Your Hands, because that's exactly what this psalm says. Psalm 47 and verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And I want to notice that the rest of this psalm actually explains the reason for this declaration, the reason for the instruction, for really the command. Clap your hands, and as we noticed, all ye people. And as we read here, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, that of course would be actually the voice of Christ. His voice is as a voice of a trumpet. And then we are given the reasons that one should clap their hands in such a manner as this. Verse 2, number 1. The Lord Most High is terrible. And that word terrible, it means one of all, but literally it speaks of one to be had in reverence. And that's exactly what we do, of course, with Jesus himself. He is the one to be had in reverence. This is especially speaking of the Lord Jesus himself. He claims the same credentials as his father. And, of course, this is something that the Jews simply would not accept. They never did recognize him as the Son of God. I'm talking about Israel as a nation. There were individuals that grasped that, and they indeed claimed that, even as the Apostle Paul did, calling himself one born out of due season. That is, he was born before the rest of the nation. But he recognized who the Lord was. He recognized who Jesus was. Jesus told him, Saul of Tarsus said when he was there in the dust on the road to Damascus, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And so Saul of Tarsus had to learn his lesson, and of course he became the Apostle Paul. But I want to notice, again, as we read here in verse 2, the Lord Most High is terrible. And so we are especially speaking of Christ himself, once again, who claims, who is entitled, who does bear all the credentials of God the Father, the great Creator. And so here he is called, as you'll notice, the second one, He is a great king over all the earth. And that is the time when Jesus is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the stead of his Father for that 1,000-year millennial reign. And so he is the great king. Thus, clap your hands for him. It is a clap of adoration, of acceptance, as we would say. The Lord God is most terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Number 3 is in verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us. And indeed, this would refer to Israel, because you see, Israel is going to become the head of the nations during that millennial period. And these other nations are going to be subservient to them. And so this is what we read, he shall subdue the people under us. All of these nations will be subdued under Israel at that time. They don't recognize that today. Israel is pretty well considered a byword, unimportant, and just somewhat of a thorn in people's sides and things like this. But nevertheless, Israel is going to become that head of the nations, and the nations are going to be subservient to them. There is no doubt about that. I think it's to Isaiah 66, that there's coming a day when these nations are going to lay hold on him, on the skirt of him that is a Jew, because it is only the Jew that will be able to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. So he shall subdue the people under us. And you'll notice again, the nations under our feet. That's exactly what the place that the nations must take during that time. They are no longer going to be in authority. God put those nations in authority in 606 BC when God installed and exalted Nebuchadnezzar as the first ruler. But that has changed now, and it is very shortly to change. I mean, literally, as we sit here in this meeting this afternoon, those days are very, very short that the Gentile reign is going to continue, because the times of the Gentiles is coming to a very swift end, and the times of the Jews, specifically Christ himself, is shortly to begin. So he shall subdue these people under us, the nations under our feet. Number four, he shall choose our inheritance for us. Now, the inheritance really is, of course, of Israel. So he shall choose our inheritance for us. Notice verse number five, the excellency of Jacob. That is Israel. So indeed, they are this inheritance of the Lord. So he shall choose our inheritance for us, and everything that goes with that, all of the things that God has promised this nation of Israel, they indeed are going to, all of that will come to pass as their inheritance. So he shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. And Jacob, representative of the entire nation of Israel. We know that it was divided to the 10 tribes and 12 tribes, but this is all-inclusive. The 12 tribes of Israel are going to be united once again, and it is called here the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Number 6, in verse 5, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Again, God here is actually Jesus himself. He is God, and he has been exalted once again. According to 1 Corinthians 15, find out that the entire kingdom, God has committed the entire kingdom into the hands of Jesus for that thousand-year period of time. And so God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Again, that sound of the trumpet, that is actually the voice of the Lord himself. It is a voice of command, and that is a command that absolutely must be observed. It must be adhered to and must be obeyed, and indeed it will. Then in verse 6, we read these people are exhorted to sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King, and sing praises. Once again, our King would be Jesus himself. The Jews like to acknowledge the Father simply as King, but there must come that day when Israel as a nation absolutely must acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ as their King, indeed as their Messiah. And so here we read, sing praises unto our King, that is King Jesus, sing praises. Number 7 is in verse 7. For God the King, again, we speak here of Christ himself. Jesus is God the King at this point of all the earth. God has put it into his hand, and that is with reason, because Jesus went to the cross and he bought all of this with his own blood there on the cross of Calvary. So it does belong to him. It belongs to him by creation. It belongs to him by redemption. And so God is the King of all the earth, and so notice, sing ye praising with understanding. That means they are to sing with the understanding of why he is King like this, why he deserves this, why all of this has been committed into his hand, why all the earth must indeed be subject to him and bow to him and is under his authority. Number 8, in verse 8, God reigns over the heathen. The heathen, that would be you and me. We are the Gentile who are the heathen, but the King reigns over the Gentile. And it will be so evident and manifest in that day when Jesus takes his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he reigns over the earth through his people Israel, and when these same Gentile nations are forced to bow before him. So God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. Again, the God that is mentioned here would be Jesus himself. He is reigning as God in his stead at this particular time. Again, during the millennium. So God sits upon the throne of his holiness. Number 9, the princes of the people are gathered together. That would be the leaders of the people. You will notice it is even the people of the God of Abraham. We're talking about Israel. The leaders of Israel are finally going to be leading in the right direction. They're going to bring forth this people where they should be in absolute reverence before the Lord and in acceptance of their Messiah, Jesus. This is the thing that we have seen this on TV recently talking about giving food boxes and things like this to God's chosen people and so forth. What I've missed in that is introducing these people or insisting that they recognize their Messiah. They say, I believe in God, but I believe God has forgotten me. They have forgotten the Messiah. They do. It is a very special thing, specific thing, to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. But that's what Israel as a nation must do before they come into the fullness of the blessing and the rest that God has for them. They have to learn that. At this particular point, that has not happened at all. And so they are still struggling and still actually making the accusation, think my God has forgotten me. No, they haven't. What they fail to realize, they, Israel as a nation, must acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. This is the God they have to recognize and know. And so the princes of the people are gathered together, even the princes of the God of Abraham. That is the nation of Israel. They must be gathered together, and they must assume that place of leadership to lead the people into this plane, in this realm, where they do absolutely accept Jesus as the Messiah and God that they are talking about. Number 10, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. Any defense in the earth belongs unto God. And so the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. We are speaking once again, the God here has to be Jesus himself, because he is the one who is speaking. He is the one who is to the front here. God is seeing to it that he is to the front because of his work there at the cross and purchasing all of these tremendous blessings and benefits, redemption, not only for Israel, but for all humanity. He must be glorified. He must be honored. And today we are absolutely glad. We rejoice to do that, to give praise and honor and glory to God, certainly, but the God is Jesus himself. This is who we're talking about, this particular point. And so any, as we read here in this 10th one, the shields, all of the defenses of the earth belong unto Jesus, the Messiah. He is the one that is to be honored, and so he is greatly exalted. And Jesus is going to have that place of honor, complete honor, both before Israel and before the nations. All right, that is our message.